From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Sasha Pfeiffer, and this is On Point. Defense Secretary Mark Esper fired Navy Secretary Richard Spencer yesterday. That's the latest turn in the dramatic story of Navy SEAL Edward Gallagher, who had been accused of war crimes. President Trump intervened on behalf of Gallagher and in two similar cases. Navy Secretary Spencer reportedly tried to negotiate a side deal with the White House to let Gallagher keep his title but still face potential discipline. Then more chaos ensued. Trump's critics say by getting involved in the case, he has undermined military authority and green-lighted bad behavior by U.S. troops. But Trump supporters say that as commander-in-chief, he calls the final shots in the military. This hour on point, upheaval in the Navy and whether it was right for Trump to step in. But first, news from the campaign trail. Former New York City mayor and billionaire Michael Bloomberg is officially running for president in 2020. He's obviously a late entrant to the race, and to make up for lost time, he plans to bypass early voting states and go all in on Super Tuesday. To get us up to speed, we have national political reporter for Politico, Elena Schneider, online. Elena, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And Elena, I want to start off by playing a clip from Saturday Night Live this weekend. This is when Michael Bloomberg crashes into the already crowded Democratic debate stage. And here's Melissa Vina Sr. as MSNBC host Rachel Maddow and also former SNL cast member Fred Armisen as Bloomberg.
Did somebody say billionaire?
Get in here.
Well, I tipped the doorman $30 million.
Does this mean you're officially running for president?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I'd be hard to beat.
Elena Schneider, Bloomberg is a multi-billionaire. I think one estimate is $50 billion. I believe that's more than Donald Trump's net worth. And that wealth is both an advantage and disadvantage to Michael Bloomberg in this race. Tell us a little bit about that aspect.
Well, certainly his wealth gives him the ability to run a presidential campaign starting at the end of November, when voting in Iowa starts just in a couple of months. And so certainly he's been able to scramble this primary by dropping, even in the last couple of days, $35 million on television ads across the country that your listeners may have already seen on their televisions, introducing himself as sort of a business leader, somebody who can bring a moderate lane to this party and can beat Donald Trump on business credentials and that sort of leadership. And so I think that in that sense certainly gives him an advantage because he is the only candidate who's in a position to do that. But on the flip side of that, he comes with a real foil for two leading candidates in this race, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, both of whom have railed consistently against corruption in politics, talked about billionaires and millionaires buying influence in Washington. And in a lot of ways, Michael Bloomberg presents a perfect foil for them in that argument.
That's right. In fact, Bernie Sanders has weighed in to say here's another white male millionaire billionaire trying to buy the election. So that's a point of attack for them onto him.
Right. And look, he at this point doesn't look like he's going to be trying to even make the DNC debate stage because he will not be accepting donations, which is an element or a requirement for DNC to appear on the DNC stage is to have a certain number of contributors. So we may not see them sort of going after each other on a debate stage, but we certainly are going to see more an escalating attacks between and among these candidates because they sort of present, as I said, perfect foils for each other in both senses, both for Michael Bloomberg being able to say that these plans are unrealistic and that he can actually get these things done versus Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, who are both going to say, as you said, say he's buying his way into this election.
And it seems that one of Bloomberg's selling points is that he presents a moderate option to Democrats or anyone who wants to vote for anyone but Donald Trump, but maybe feels that the entire Democratic portfolio so far doesn't offer them someone they can be enthusiastic about. He basically is saying, I am that moderate alternative. Tell us a bit about why he thinks he's that person.
Right. So Michael Bloomberg very publicly considered getting into the presidential race back last spring. And once Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, decided to get into this race, ultimately Bloomberg pulled back and didn't end up getting in last spring. Based on our reporting, because he thought somebody like Joe Biden would take up too much space in that area in terms of providing themselves as a moderate alternative to people like Warren and Sanders. But as we've seen, Joe Biden has stumbled and has not been able to hold on to him. And he consistently is still leading national polls, but has backslid in terms of the amount of support that he's been able to maintain. And so people like Mayor Michael Bloomberg see that as an opening where, you know, if Joe Biden cannot hold on to that mantle, that maybe there's room for somebody like him to do that. But look, you know, when I talk to voters in Iowa and New Hampshire, and even more broadly just across the country, There's not a huge interest in adding to the list of people who are running for president. In fact, what I hear most consistently is people want to see fewer people on that debate stage so that it's easier for them to actually make a decision here. So it's going to be a real uphill battle for Michael Bloomberg to explain to voters why, you know, in this long menu of candidates that they could pick from, why he is the one who getting in this late is the one that they should go and support.
And what do you think his biggest selling point will be?
Well, I think that he's spent an enormous amount of money after his years as New York City mayor on issues like climate change and on gun control, and spending enormous sums of money backing candidates to try and change the makeup both of Congress and state legislatures. So he certainly has put his money where his mouth is in terms of the issues that he cares about. And he also is the mayor of, or was the mayor, a three-term mayor of the biggest city in the country. And certainly that presents a striking contrast to somebody like Pete Buttigieg, who's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, which is only about 100,000 people. And he's certainly been able to galvanize some of that sort of center-left area of the primary that maybe have been less enthused about Joe Biden, but find Pete Buttigieg sort of a young, fresh alternative, that Bloomberg can come in and say, look, you know, it's nice that you've led this town, but I've led an entire city, and has a long record of bringing out sort of, you know, business economic redevelopment in the city. But obviously that also then comes with some real challenges. Just last week, he announced that he apologized for his support for Stop and Frisk, a very controversial policing tactic that was used in New York City that targeted particularly people of color in that city. So it's not without that record also comes with a lot more questions for him.
Elena Schneider is a national political reporter for Politico. We may be speaking with you again on the show in coming months as we follow this race. Thanks very much for talking with us about Michael Bloomberg entering the presidential race.
Thanks again for having me.